from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind, did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought?
You serious?
Get out.
The drought,
out.
Look
Leave.
Back
go
at the
home.
Drought.
Go home.
The drought was fun.
You're dismissed. It's very fun to watch the Bills lose to Cleveland 6-3.
I mean,
That was really fun. It was really fun to watch Doug Marrone punt in Miami down 10 points with 6 minutes left. These were all very fun things.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I look forward to Joe's breakdown how it was fun to not acquire awesome players in trades. It's more fun when other teams acquire those awesome players in trades.
But didn't you always... You had the hope, even when it never happened.
Yeah.
And then it never happened. Until they signed T.O. That was fun.
They did sign T.O.
For a day.
Is the Diggs trade the most fun trade they ever made? Kiko Alonso for LeSean McCoy.
Oh, you mean trading for Diggs.
Acquiring.
Right. Sorry. Off-season brain. I was thinking, like, when they traded him away, like, a month ago?
No, that was not fun.
That was not fun. Yes. Was it more fun, though? I'll make another crazy statement as I try to. Here's how my morning just started.
Am I ready for this at 6:04? Crazy statement.
My cord of my headphones is in the wheel of my chair currently, but currently I got a cord long enough. The 3 hours that I spent and the hour show I did with Brian Cozio the night they traded for Antonio Brown was pretty fun, too.
It's a fun trade.
Because Diggs was, like, really good. And like, oh, he's a star receiver-ish, right? And Matt Harmon was out here like, oh no, guys, he's better than you think he is. He's one of the best route runners in football. Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver in football. Like, there was no disputing that. When they traded for him for that hour, he was like a 1,500-yard stud all-pro, like all the accolades that get you on. Nobody knew that he was kind of, you know, little off-kilter at that point. So, like... That hour was really fun. But yeah, trading for Diggs, was it more fun? You tell me. Was it more fun than them trading for Bledsoe? Because I was only 7 when they traded
Bledsoe.
Oh, Bledsoe
was fun. Yeah, Bledsoe was a big deal. I mean,
it's a quarterback.
I've told you this before. After the Bledsoe trade, there was not quite a parade, but there was a rally.
I found out about this rally
there was a
couple
rally,
months ago.
And yeah. He threw a football into the stand, into the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bledsoe trade is going to have to top it.
A trade that had a rally is pretty tough to beat.
You trade for a quarterback. Imagine a team trades for, Josh Allen's not a good comparison here. Bledsoe was good.
Yeah, who's Bledsoe?
Bledsoe's good enough. Bledsoe is trading for Kirk Cousins. When you've been...
He had been to a Super Bowl, though.
That's right, so it's okay.
Jared Goff. Not when the Lions did it, though.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one because, right, the Lions had already had a quarterback that was, whatever, a number one pick. And
right, you got to be coming from nowhere also because, what was it, Van Pelt starting before the Bledsoe trade?
And
maybe it was
Todd
Rob
Collins.
Was it still Rob Johnson?
Yes, Rob Johnson.
Okay.
So Bledsoe was a big trade. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
It was also during the draft.
You know what it'd be like? It'd be like in 4 years trading for fancy Kirk Cousins, Joe Burrow.
Right.
In a couple of years.
I'm sticking by that. You think you say that to me like I'm ashamed of it. I'm happy with fancy Kirk Cousins. Fancy Kirk Cousins.
Put your name on that.
Fancy Kirk Cousins could win a Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins is good. So fancy Kirk Cousins is pretty good.
Don't hide about like it's a compliment. It's not a compliment.
I mean, it's an appropriate evaluation of who Joe Burrow is. He's fancy Kirk Cousins.
I don't mind it.
Anyway, on trades, the thing about that Bledsoe trade. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Tuesday. The Bledsoe trade, that was the second day of the draft. Day one, they go and they take Mike Williams, the offensive tackle, with the fourth overall pick. I mean, the Bills were picking fourth, so this is how bad they were.
Yeah.
They take Mike Williams and Tom Donahoe when we were thinking about, are they going to get a franchise quarterback? Because that's the year of, if I'm off the top of my head, David Carr and Joey Harrington.
Okay.
And we would have been tracking the quarterbacks. Maybe it's not David Carr, but it is Joey Harrington for sure. He went third to the Lions. We were tracking, can they get a quarterback? Can they get a quarterback? And they didn't. So they go for Bledsoe. Actually, Donahoe said on Saturday, that's when the draft was still Saturday, Sunday,
okay,
stay tuned. Ooh, what could it mean?
He had it cooking. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they traded for Bledsoe. So that was exciting.
Yeah, that was 2002. That was David Carr in number one, Joey Harrington.
And Robert Gallery was number two.
No.
No? Okay.
Hall of Famer at number two. Recent Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer at number two.
Recent Hall of Famer at number two. Who went behind the Mike Williams here for the Bills?
At five?
Quentin Jammer.
Oh, yeah, San Diego.
Bryant McKinney. Williams.
Yeah.
Dwight Freeney at 11. So you got a couple Hall of Famers.
Two is Julius Peppers.
Gotcha. Yep, Julius Peppers.
Yeah, Mike Williams stands out there as not exactly a good pick.
Wow, three Hall of Fame defensive players in the first round. Ed Reed also went at 24 in that first round of the draft. And the Bills ended up with a tackle that played two terrible seasons for them? Three terrible seasons?
He wasn't all terrible. He was okay. He just didn't... I mean, I guess the story goes he didn't love football the way that you want someone taken that high to love football.
I mean, that's tough.
He might have been one of those guys that did it because he was good at it.
Uh-huh.
And, again, like, I don't know if that's the story. Hey, Tyler Dunn, if you're listening, go catch up with Mike Williams. Get the story, right? Like,
yeah.
Tyler does these long-form pieces, brings back these guys, tells us their story. I think Tyler Dunn on that. Maybe I'll text him.
All right.
What's up with Mike Williams? You know, what was the story there? Anyway.
So the Bledsoe trade might be the one to beat.
By the way, searching Mike Williams, you have to find out which Mike Williams it is.
I just experienced this. I went to Pro Football Reference and typed in Mike Williams, and just a million Mike Williams pops up.
I was just including
one that is active maybe even still. No, maybe he's retired.
I was just making sure he didn't die. He did not. He's still with us, Mike Williams, 44 years old.
No, Mike Williams, wide receiver, passed away.
He did pass away, right. The offensive lineman did not.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, good morning.
Would Brandon Ayuk be more fun than Drew Bledsoe?
Yes.
Or Diggs?
It'd be the same as Diggs.
It's different because of where, if they somehow found a way to do it, and it doesn't sound like they are because it's Cleveland or New England maybe. Yeah,
all right, it might be better than the Diggs trade because you already know Allen is amazing.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. And when the Bills traded for Diggs the first time, we thought, this guy's pretty good, Allen. He's pretty good. We don't know if he's the best quarterback in football or one of the two best quarterbacks in football.
Right.
So... Yeah, if they were to trade for Ayuk, which I do not anticipate, it would be incredible. It would be wonderful.
Are you now buying the idea, though, that it's actually going to happen somewhere?
Yes. Definitely.
This isn't just flexing. This isn't just him one last gasp to get the Niners to give him the deal they want. Like, all of this is believable that he's going to get dealt.
Yes. Last night it looked like Pittsburgh, and then... Cleveland and New England have the framework for a trade.
Yep.
And the report is that Ayuk has to choose.
Yeah.
In one spot, he's got a quarterback he's tied to that might not be good anymore, Cleveland.
Right.
And a defense that's amazing if he cares about that, and he's got Cleveland. And the other, he's got New England, which is starting brand new, has a rookie quarterback that would be it's a great idea for the Patriots to trade for Brandon Ayuk. You know, looking back on the Ayuk history, I was listening to the afternoon show quite a bit yesterday because I wanted to hear if Ayuk got traded. But I will admit something to all of you. I can think back to sitting here during the tank and how it was affecting Howard's happiness. And he was just like, I can't take this. This is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, at home doing dishes, kind of like cleaning up, getting ready for dinner, I said to my wife, I'm like, if I seem like I'm in a bad mood, it's because Pittsburgh might be trading for Brandon Ayuk. And she said, I was going to ask, what's going on with you? I was
and that's what it was.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh trading for Ayuk.
Washing dishes mad. Because the Steelers, at that point, looked like they were going to get Brandon Ayuk, and I think that's just a horrible idea.
Shouldn't you be equally as mad if New England gets him?
Well, yes, but Pittsburgh would waste him. Pittsburgh is the worst. Right. I hate Pittsburgh. More than New England right now. I mean, I guess I'd hate it even more if the Chiefs went out and got him, but whatever. Anybody trading for him stinks because he should have been traded for by the Bills, probably. But there will be other receivers they can trade for, and we can talk about all this as we go. With Ayuk to New England as an idea, that's following a little bit of the Bills model, just doing it earlier. Let's get a good young quarterback and see if we can bring the best out of him and give him an elite weapon right away.
Mm-hmm.
Do it when he's cheap. It's a great idea for New England. And New England would be rolling out with what? Javon Baker, Jalen Polk, and Brandon Ayuk. A couple of nice-looking rookies,
mm-hmm.
and one of the best receivers in football.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea if I'm a New England fan. And, you know, like just looking at their lot in the division, they might be thinking, hey, the Bills will be here for a while, but the Jets, how long can they last? And Miami, we'll see.
Maybe they're betting, hey, when they have the big Tua cap hits, they won't be able to keep it all together.
Maybe.
Although it's tough because they just paid their two guys that you think are probably most important to keep around Tua. So
you don't even have to think that deep. It's just England sitting here saying like, hey, there's an amazing player. We should go get a great
player.
And
we got to keep up in our division.
Yep.
Or eventually we'll want to start jumping up there and competing with them.
Or we got to find out if this quarterback we've got is good.
Yeah.
So Ayuk to New England would be a tough pill to swallow.
Cleveland's really weird, isn't it? Like, they just traded for Jerry Jeudy in the offseason and paid him, and they also just gave Amari Cooper a pay raise. Like, maybe it's not weird. It's just I wouldn't have predicted them because they've already thrown so much at that position this offseason. Ayuk's probably better, though, than both of the guys that I just mentioned, isn't he? Or maybe he's around. He's better. Maybe he's around as good as Amari Cooper, maybe a little better. We can fight about those two. He's definitely better than Jerry Jeudy, though. And that's the guy they acquired. But Cleveland, I saw that Cleveland was one of the teams, and I thought, man, if they get this done, what a beautiful torture for them if they, after getting hammered by everybody for doing what they did and going out and paying Deshaun Watson what they did while he was undergoing all of those sexual misconduct accusations and lawsuits, the grossest thing that they could have done at that time. And think if they trade for Ayuk. Last year they had the best defense in football. They have arguably the best offensive line in football. They're going to have arguably, top five weapons if they were to trade for Ayuk. Great, best defense in the league, best offensive line in the league, awesome weapons, and their quarterback is going to be what's holding them back. Because there's nothing else about their... Show me something else on their team that isn't, we're ready to go win a Super Bowl.
Well, maybe...
Their roster around quarterback might be, if it's not one of the best, it's got to be one of the best in the league, and their quarterback might not be able to throw anymore.
Maybe. I mean...
Kind of would be beautiful.
Be fun.
It would kind of be beautiful.
803-0550. We'll get a call in quickly. Johnny Buffalo's piped in earlier, so we'll go to Johnny. Hey, Johnny, what's up? Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. A little bit of this drought talk got me in my feels a little bit. You know, I was built by the drought, man. Like, that's all my football memories, early football memories with the drought and some of those kind of no-name players that we knew that probably nobody else in the league knew, you know, the Leotis McKelvins of the world, the Roscoe Parrish, all those guys who I will forever remember and, you know, put all my hopes and dreams into, and just to be absolutely crushed. I was going through some, I was going through some ticket stubs the other day. I found a box that I used to keep old ticket stubs in, and I missed doing that. But I found some old Bills tickets, along with, some old Syracuse Orange tickets of the Mellow days. But my Bills tickets, I found three in particular. One was the Bills-Browns 6-3 game that I heard in that intro. That was a fun one. I found I traveled to Cleveland with some buddies, and it was the Blizzard 8-0 game that the Bills lost to Cleveland.
I was at that one, too.
That was a fun one. And then I had like a Monday night game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Against Dallas.
I thought you were going to say the Browns again.
There are so many Browns games.
There is the holy trinity of terrible Browns losses. If you've been to all three of those, you should have some sort of badge.
I have, actually, because I had some buddies who grew up in Cleveland. I went to Canisius College, and we all would go to those games together. But that Bills Cowboys game was on a Monday night, and Bills were up late, and they were up by 8. And driving in field goal range, and all we have to do basically is run out the clock, and we call some stupid out route, and Trent Edwards gets picked. Guy basically runs it back for a touchdown. Dallas scores. They don't get the 2-point conversion, but they get the onside kick, and kick a field goal with no time remaining, and the Bills lose on their first Monday night game at home in forever. And you're like, oh, okay. And that kind of set the tone for, the drought for a while, because I think that was back in, 2007, 2008. So, yeah, it makes these Josh Allen days that much sweeter.
Yeah.
But, I agree with you on one other thing, Jeremy, and I really wish the Bills would just go get Ayuk and just keep adding to this receiver core and give Josh as many weapons as possible. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Johnny. I sometimes wonder where Bills fans are about how they've done with the weapons around Allen, because training camp is the time of year where, I don't know, Joe, I want to say nobody really wants to hear it's never going to work. And I don't think And I don't think that what the Bills have done could never work, but it is a lot of hope, and it is a lot of, well, let's see if this works, this experiment. And Bulldog said something yesterday that triggered a thought in my brain about this. He said, and I don't know if this is a crazy thing to say, he said, if they roll out and they're a good offense next year and they're every bit as good as they were before, then Brandon Bean will look like he's done the job. Maybe like he's a genius or like they did it. And my thought was, we started this whole thing about the receiver train. We've been on this receiver train because we felt like the offense has not been good enough. Right.
And if they get back to where they were, we will soon remember, wait a minute, that wasn't good enough. We felt like they needed more around Allen. It was 2 years of lamenting that Gabe Davis was their number two. Why don't you do something more than this? There should be a better idea than Gabriel Davis. Let's slot him in where he's supposed to be. Go get somebody else. Draft somebody. Then it was, okay, let's draft the heir apparent to Diggs. We don't even need him to be number one anymore. He'll naturally fall off. Like the conversations about how Diggs was falling off and not the same player, we were having those before he was traded as a natural sort of, let's just do this thing. And then he was gone, and a lot of people just decided, well, all right, a fully new room, let's see how it goes. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with having hope that it would go well, but we've kind of...
But there should be a bracing for it to not go as well as we think.
I wouldn't even...
Because that is as likely as it going as they would hope. Right?
I don't know. You've got Josh Allen. That's what everyone's going to say there. It's like, well, you got Josh Allen. It's going to go... It's like the Ken Dorsey conversation. There's a baseline where it'll be this good because you have Josh Allen. Ken Dorsey got fired, and the Bills' offense, a month before, was 3-0 and had hung a perfect game nearly on the Dolphins.
But what is that to say? Doesn't that kind of sound like then that the struggling core of weapons that we had seen the last 2 years is as bad as it can get? Like how much worse than what we saw at the beginning of last year, or not the beginning of last year, but really like the, over the last 2 years when we thought they needed more, like how much worse than that can it look if Allen's your quarterback?
It can probably look a lot worse. It probably wasn't really that bad. It's just, what is our standard? Do we want to have the Bills with a top three offense in the league? Because that's what I would obsessively seek. Obsessively. I would be looking to, at all costs, have the best weapons around the second-best quarterback, third-best quarterback, first-best, wherever you want to put him. I don't care. I'd be obsessively looking to have the best weapons around him. Of course. And the Aiyuk trade, I just think the ship has sailed. That's not going to happen. And that's fine, mainly because, and this is where we get to like what this year will look like, I believe that the Bills will absolutely pursue great pass catchers around Josh Allen. And all the talk about, well, maybe they've decided they don't want a number one receiver. Maybe that's a new idea in the NFL. I think that is nonsense. I think that is living in the moment that you're in right now and explaining why it's okay to be there. You know, the Bills are a team in transition. Here's a hypothetical I thought of yesterday. If Curtis Samuel becomes a true wide receiver number one this year, 1,600 yards, 9 touchdowns.
Ooh, I get my lead the league in receiving bet.
125 catches.
All right.
Is he coming back and playing for $8 million? Or is he going to say...
He's going to want a pay raise.
Guys.
He's not going to want $8 million bucks?
Right.
Yeah, no, he's going to want a pay raise.
And should the Bills give it to him?
Yes.
Of course.
Of course they should.
Yes. Yes. If Curtis Samuel has a monster season, balls out, he's 27 years old. How old was Diggs when the Bills acquired Diggs? Was he 26? He's pretty much like the Diggs age.
And yeah, not far off.
I know he signed for 3 years, $8 million, but I wonder, and there are no incentives in there. There's not even escalators that could get him to bigger contracts. It's just 3 years, $8 million. But if he puts up a really, truly good to great season, he might say, throw another year on there and give me some money. And the Bills have done this many times, giving guys extensions for playing well. Teams around the league do it. The Dolphins just did it for Tyreek Hill. Waddle got paid. The market's going up. They gave him basically $11 million. That's what the Dolphins did with Tyreek Hill. It was an $11 million raise. Not per year, just they moved money around. New contract, finger quotes, sticker shock of a massive deal. All that happened was Tyreek Hill was given $11 million more over 2 years than he was going to get. That's what happened. Teams do that all the time. And if Curtis Samuel shows out and has a great year, I think his agent will say, you know, $8 million for one more year and then you guys can get off isn't good enough anymore. Mm-hmm. Let's lower that cap hit and go ahead and give my guy 14 a year. And I think the Bills would be inclined to do it if he had a great season. So all this talk about model, all this talk about this and that, I try not to get mad about it. Because it drives me nuts, because it never makes any sense, and no models point to this being a good idea long-term that you would ever want to follow.
Are you thinking the ship has sailed then more so, not because this is what the Bills want to do, and they don't think they need or want a guy like Aiyuk, more than the ship has sailed because they just can't get his contract on.
Right. They're just going to wait. Imagine for a moment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they had the room to do it right now, do we think they'd do it?
Absolutely. If you ask yourself a question, you can magically wave a wand and give Brandon Bean $62 million in cap space.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how much dead cap they have. They have $62 million in space. Are they calling the Niners today?
I would bet yes.
Definitely.
I would want the answer to that to be yes.
Isn't the answer most definitely yes? This is a team, while we're at it, this is a team that you just pointed out traded for Antonio Brown, did trade for Stephon Diggs, had been linked to relentlessly DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham Jr.,
came here to visit.
Of the receivers in this year's draft. I mean, if I want to get too deep in the weeds, the Giants' Hard Knocks, we saw Bean on the sidelines talking about getting up to the sixth pick. He said, I can't afford it. Not I don't want it.
Yeah.
I can't afford it.
Right.
I mean, that might just be a quick, just might be a quick dismissal of the idea of trading up. But if the Bills picked six, what would they have taken? Mm-hmm. What would they have done? Would they have taken Malik Nabers? Yes.
They probably, of course they would.
Of course they would.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they took Keon Coleman with their highest draft pick, which is an indication that they do see the position as something that's pretty important. They're hoping he balls out and they're hoping he's great.
I think my bitterness in this whole thing is it feels like to me the Bills are like $4 million in space away from being able to do it.
And they
can't get there. Because like long-term cap space, which once you extend him, is where you're going to have to need that, hey, $30 million down the road to afford him, especially if they cut Vaughn next year. Like, they'll have that. Like, the long-term cap space, they have more of that available than they have short-term cap space. But I was going back and forth with Craig Thompson from Cover One, who is into the cap, yesterday on Twitter. And, like, you need, as you said, you need to fit his $14 million in when you trade for him. And there's just, like, no way to get the Bills there. Like, what if you had him on the team, you could then extend him and you could make it work. But you can't get him here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my frustration is. It almost feels like if they just had $4 million more of cap space, everything would be fine for them to do this right now. But they don't have it, and I don't know how they would get it. You can't, like, Allen. I thought you could just give Allen a big pay raise right now and create more space, but I guess, like, the way that works at the moment is it would only create, like, $1 million.
You want a little bit of irony in how you could find $4 million in cap space? You could have Diggs on the team.
That.
And you.
Oh, wow. That
and,
thought.
And trade for Ayuk and then trade Diggs away. You could have Ayuk on the team. Or, sorry, because Diggs on the team because. Sending him away cost you more than his cap hit. It was about a $31 million hit, and his salary was supposed to be like $27, $26 million.
Yeah.
So you took on a little bit more. I don't know the exact numbers there. Anyway.
That's pretty close, though. Yeah.
Hey, good morning. Brandon Ayuk looks like he might be traded to Cleveland or New England. Pittsburgh. Man.
Pittsburgh getting shut out here on the...
Let me tell you. We had a couple of NFL, finger quotes, insiders reporting multiple, not just one, that Pittsburgh was going to get the job done here. And there were a lot of people wondering, where are the big guns? Where's Pelissero? Where's Rappaport? Schefter? Nobody's got this. And they came on and shut that down pretty fast. That, no, the deal's not done. He's not going to Pittsburgh. Not yet. So the Steelers getting shut out. We'll see. We'll see if they get that done. I just think a lot of people are screwed up on receiver. What does that mean for George Pickens? Who cares? Who cares?
Oh, I saw that.
Go get Ayuk. Who cares with me? George Pickens. See you later. Ayuk's better.
Right.
Anyway, 803-0550, our phone number. Sal at 8:30 and Charles McDonald of Yahoo Sports coming up at 9:30. We are at training camp tomorrow. We'll talk to Bills GM Brandon Bean. And we can ask him a couple questions about the roster, the receiver room, where it's at. Because we're getting close to the season. First game coming up Saturday against the Bears. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I have an incredible stat, absolutely mind-blowing, on the Chicago White Sox. I know what you're thinking. I don't care about the White Sox. Neither do I. But the stat is that good.
Mm-hmm.
It is that good.
All right.
On the White Sox right now, who just lost their 21st consecutive game. I'll get that to you when we get back. 803-0550 to chime in with us here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.